In 1 Peter chapter 1, and after you find your place, I'd ask you to stand. And these series have been an encouragement to me, and I feel like helped me in different ways. And I trust that God is doing the same for yourself. Except we're trying to focus on making some changes in our Christian walk, that where we actually are walking in a state of being instead of a state of doing. So statements that we made, we said doing more puts man in control, but being more puts God in control. Doing more implies there's an end to it. Being more is a process fluid and unpredictable. Doing more lets a man pick the changes he needs to make. Being more allows God to reveal the changes a man needs to make. Doing more requires trying harder, but being more relies on training humbly. Doing more feeds spiritual pride, but being more produces humility through surrender. And so we're trying, because after looking at different things in my short Christian life, I've seen a lot of people doing things, and yet they still seem to fall by the wayside. Some of the most consecrated people that we once knew, involved in everything unimaginable, and that we thought would have never, ever fallen or failed. And I believe because of doing more than being. So we want to enter into a state of being what God would have us to be, because that implies a more fixed position and a fixed state with God. But in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse number 13, you'll notice that the Word of God does say this. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and as the glory of man, all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. You may be seated, and I thank you for standing. We're going to look at today as a Christian state of being holy. You know, one of the things I think Independent Baptists, we preach holiness. We talk about doing holiness. And even as I said with being separate, you know, being holy. Right now, those that have a desire to follow God, if we just stop the service right now and ask everybody's opinion on a holy consecrated life and what you do to be holy, we'd have a variety of some things would be similar. And many things will be different because in our mind, those of us that are serious about following God, there are some things that we are doing on a regular basis that try to live a holy life. And because of many times trying to do those things, and we do need to do those things, but God would advocate a being, because being holy indicates a walk, a continual walk, more than just doing a few things. I did X, Y, Z today, so I can be holy, and now it's time for me. And that's what we have. So many people, Christians, make great mistakes in their life because of doing, and after they've done what they feel like they've done is enough, then all of a sudden it's time for them. But if we have a state of being, the word be means to be fixed. It means to exist. We exist in holiness, according to what we're saying. To have a real state, a real rock in position. And God would have us to be like He is, which is holy. Now, holy, of course, means to be set apart. It also means to be whole. And God is definitely whole. He's perfect. It means to be complete. And everything about God is, there's nothing about God that can be changed for the better. Now, we think there is sometimes, because we wish God would change His mind about the way He does things sometimes. We wish God would have a different plan sometimes, because especially once God speaks to you and lets you know your will for your life, sometimes you wish it were something different. You wish God would change His mind. But if you think about the holiness of God, how He's perfect in wisdom and might and power and everything, that His plan and decision for you is perfect. People even get confused today. Think God should have made me a man instead of a woman. God should have made me a woman instead of a man. But God knew exactly what He was doing when He made you the sex that He made you. Whatever background He made you from, whatever nationality you are, God was perfect. That decision that He made was perfect. If you're one of 16 children, if you're the only child, if you're whatever, well, again, male or female, God's choice was perfect. And understanding a few of those things about God and His holiness help us to actually understand His admonition a little bit more when He says, to be ye holy. Now, I'll just speak from my own background. When I think about being holy, as an independent Baptist, the first thing that crossed my mind, again, because of my background, maybe music, maybe dress, maybe places I don't go, and things of that nature. Maybe being like Job, I've made a covenant with my eyes, so when I think about a man, I don't want unholy thoughts from what I think about a maid, Job said. And so I think about those type of things, and trying to, especially when summertime's coming, having to make a fixed choice not to look in the direction of nakedness. And because as the temperature gets hotter, the nakedness gets greater and greater. And I think about those, and those are principles that a person will practice if they're walking in a state of being holy. But doing those things does not necessarily make you holy. Because guess what? I can have, quote-unquote, music that honors God. I can dress in a way that honors God. I cannot go places that God does not want me to go. And I can be as unholy as all get out. Because my heart can be corrupt. But if I'm actually in a state of being holy, those things will flow out of actually who I am, rather than doing something to make me fit in with those that are around me, or maybe to identify with a certain doctrine or dogma. Now, we're looking to understand what God is saying. He said, in verse 15, He said, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. So we have to look at God's holiness so we can understand what God is asking of us. Now, there's no way in one service we could completely go through all of God's holiness. But we're going to get three considerations about God's holiness. And if you're a child of God and you have a desire to be what God wants you to be, then you will see some things from the Bible that will help you to walk in a state of being holy. Because then, when you walk in the state of being holy, then you won't become bitter about the things that you feel like you're doing. Because, as you walk in a state of being, that's who you are. And God would have us to be. And as you understand about God, then maybe you'll understand greater some of the things that God asks you to do. And there again, like I said, according to my background, those are things independent Baptists have majored on. But we're seeing now that those things don't necessarily get the job done. Because they can be there, they can be such a cover-up of what's actually on the inside of the heart of a person. But if the state of being is right, then what? Then the inside will be consistent. And it'll be a natural flow. And guess what? If my state of being is right, then whatever I happen to do, guess what? Because I'm set apart, my attitude's right, my heart's right, there's no arrogance. There's no self-righteousness. There's no bitterness toward anybody else that might not be walking in the way that I think they should walk. You know, because the being, remember, God, there's no darkness in God. And hey, there's no variables, there's no unchangeableness in God. And so then, as I'm walking in a state of being holy, then everything about my heart, my mind, and action should be right as well. Now, at this time we'll stop and pray and move a little further. Lord, we just ask that you, especially as I try to look at your character, Lord, I know that I won't really completely do justice, but help me to just be really true to the scriptures the next few moments. And so, for the true believers, what we already read from 1 Peter, they have a desire to be that, to be whatever you desire holiness is. And so, Father, for those that desire it, I pray that you'll bind Satan and you allow them to open, to put their heart before you, completely surrendered, and be willing to be taught so that you can make them to what you'd have them to be. And so they can actually be that which you want them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, first consideration, hold your place here. Just mark it. We won't come right back here. Turn to Isaiah chapter 40. Quickly, three considerations about God's holiness. If you're taking those, first thing that we're going to note is that, number one, the Lord God is uncomparable. The Lord God is uncomparable. God cannot be compared to anything. In Isaiah chapter 40, looking at verse number 17, Isaiah 40 and verse 17, notice what the Word of God says here. All nations before him are as nothing, and they are counted to him less than nothing and vanity. Now this is a good verse for international church, amen? Because, which by the way, every church will be international, you know? Because all nations, because we know it causes a lot of divisions between people, is a lot of our national pride. We believe that our culture does it better, our culture is nicer, our culture is more of this, our culture is more of that. But God said right here about all nations, he said that they're counted to him, notice this, not nothing, but he says they're less than nothing. So those who say the great United States of America, or the great country of Canada, or whatever country you're from, God looks at, and God said if you put them all together, he said, he put all of them together. He said, they're not just nothing. He said, they're less than nothing. And even goes further. He said, they're not just less than nothing. They're less than vanity. Amen. That's all of them put together. I mean, so as great as you think yours is, or as great as I may think mine is, just add them all in together and put them in. And God says, it's less than nothing, less than vanity. And then he makes a statement about himself that when you think about it, we're going to be holy. It says, to whom then will ye liken God? Well, what likeness will you compare unto him? Now, God cannot be compared to anything. There's nothing that you can really look at and put God in the same category with and say, you know, that's what God is, that's close to God. Because he said, to whom will you liken me? Well, what likeness would you compare? I mean, now we try to make illustrations sometimes to try to explain what God does and explain his character. But if we believe what God says here, he's saying there's nothing you can compare me to. To whom then we liken God? And if you think about your state of being holy, your life is to be in a state that cannot be compared to anything that this world has. Because if God is working in you and the Spirit of God is working through you, somebody's going to look at you and say, Christian. And then what happened in the book of Acts? They looked at their resolve, they looked at their commitment, they looked at their love, they gave their houses, their lands, they preached the gospel for the glory of God. Everything they did was simply for the nature and glory of God. And the only thing they could look at them and they just say, Christians! And that's the way our life ought to be. But see, what we have is groups of religious people all over the globe that are like this famous religious leader, or this well-known preacher, or this person, or that person. And people look and they make comparisons and they say that you're like so-and-so. You're like, instead of what should happen is, wow. You're like Jesus. And, but see, to have that, you have to, your state of being has to be in holiness. And to accomplish that, you have to really walk in the Lord. And you have to, and to accomplish it also, you have to stop looking around you. You have to look at the Lord himself. Notice what it says here. Let's read further. Verse 19. The workman melteth a graven... Actually, I don't want to read that. I do want to read that. The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold and casteth silver change. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. He's talking about people. I mean, people that have gods and idols. He said they look for a tree that won't rot because they look at God as being unchangeable, that his strength doesn't fade. So they don't just pick any tree. They try to pick a tree that does not decay to make what they believe their image of God is, maybe to imitate a certain attribute. And then he goes to verse 21. He says, have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. What people were once counted as the wisdom of men and the people that judge and rule the earth, God brings it down to nothing. Yea, they shall not be planted. They shall not be sown. Their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he also shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. And God tries again to get the point across. He says, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Lord. A lot of our Christian walks are modeled by someone that we put up as an example. We see their characteristics, their principles. And some of us are independent enough, we don't do that. We just model the guy in the mirror. Well, we say, that's the way I believe about that. That's the way I think about that. Let me tell you about my convictions. Let me tell you how I believe. And then, but we just need to trust what the Bible says, what the Word of God says. This is what the Bible says. And you got to be careful when you say what I believe. Now, hopefully you believe the truth. Hopefully I believe the truth. But what I better be saying is, the truth of the Bible is this. I better study it. I better meditate upon it. And I better look at God and the person of God and look at his character and think about God. But wait a minute, God cannot be compared to anything, because the greatest mistakes we make in our Christian walk is when we can make God like us, like some earthly figure, and like these people, they try to make their own images about what they thought God was like, and that's what they wanted to follow. Now, Psalm 119, notice what the Bible says here. Psalm 119. Excuse me, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. The Lord God is uncomparable. So when you think about being holiness, when you think about if you're going to be holy, if you're a Christian, if you're going to be holy, then you can't be compared to anything. He said, Psalm 139, verse 15, my substance was not hid from thee. When I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, written in continuance, were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. When in the lowest parts of the earth, God made you holy. You were curiously wrought, specifically wrought. But it's amazing how we still, with good intentions, we don't want to walk in the reality that God made us to not to be compared. We have to be holy. The only thing we have to be that is to be like God. And I think you understand how I mean that. To walk in the character of God. To be like the person of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Lord God is incomparable. So if you're going to be holy, you got to stop making comparisons. Because we don't know what it says here. Verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number. 2 Corinthians 10, 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. You know, because the people we compare ourselves to are some people that think they're doing it right. No, right? Really, why do we change things about ourselves? We look at somebody that we think is an example, and they say they're doing it right, but they wouldn't be doing it that way. We change the way we look. We change the way we feel about a subject. We change the way we do things because we look at them and we compare ourselves to them. We're not doing it like them. And we admire that person. We respect that person. And so, you know, hey, I'll make my adjustment based on what I see in them. Instead of making your adjustment based on what you see in him, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's from our nature, you know. You look at children. When a child gets to a certain age, they look at them, they look at their parent. If they have any respect for their parents at all, and then they want to change what they're doing to be like their parent. My boys, when they're little, you know, I call them. One of them would find out what color pants I was wearing in the morning, what kind of pants I was wearing, and he'd go ask, and he's, hey, what's Papa wearing? And so, and he would adjust what he was doing because he wanted to wear exactly what I was wearing. And so it's in our nature to compare ourselves to people. But the transfer has to be that we look into God and we say, God, what you want me to be is not what you want me to do. I'm going to be separate. I'm going to be uncomparable. I'm going to walk in your likeness. I'm going to be the person that you want me to be as I walk with you. Then whatever that means to be like you in this situation, what would you do, Lord? In this situation, how would you act, Lord? If this, it's kind of like defensive driving. You know, I was driving, and I was thinking about all the different things I learned from defensive driving. I was driving down the highway, and for instance, a trailer pulled in front of me, and I was thinking, now, what if that trailer loses control right now? Where I'm going to go? I just checked my mirror, so I knew that I checked to make sure this lane was clear. So I knew if that trailer lost control, I could go to this lane over here immediately. Because I just looked a few seconds ago, if they locked it, because it was passing me and going in front. I said, if they lose control, then immediately I know I can go here. I was prepared for an action. And then I thought, okay, now, if that truck loses control, and then the car in front slams on its brakes, then it's going to take my lane away because of the speed I'm going to go forward. So then what am I going to do? And well, I have to hit my brakes here. And I thought, well, the shoulder's clear. So I go to the shoulder. And so walking in holiness is being prepared to walk through a situation so that people aren't, so that your testimony is not damaged. And better than that, so the name of God is not damaged. Because that's what it's all about. Now, notice what we see next year. with some to commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves. This is where they're getting their identity from, by the comparison. You know, just like young children. I've been there once, a long time ago. As a child, you can tend to wear whatever your parents buy and put on you to a certain period of time. But then you get a certain age, you become aware, and you start to compare. And you say, well, they have that. I don't have that. And all of a sudden, you measure yourself by themselves. Or you get a little older. As a young child, hey, whatever house you got, hey, you're thankful to be in. Then you go get to compare with somebody else. And how come they have this at their house, and we don't have that in our house to compare. And then we begin to measure ourselves. And even children will start getting their self-worth if they're not careful, if the parents don't teach them properly. And even still, it's a choice after that. By what they see in other people compared, instead of, now we just talked about, every person was curiously wrought. I mean, every person really, you were specifically made by the hand of God. That means, does God make mistakes? All right. So then, however he made you right. He made you a vessel in such a way that, now in and of yourself, there's something wrong with all of us. But he made you a vessel distinct and unique that if you allow him to pour himself into you, the perfect result will come out. That's exactly how he made you. No matter what background you're from, what you look like, what you think like, God made you such a vessel that if you allow him to pour himself into you, the end result will be perfect. But see, we compare ourselves by looking at this crude nature. We measure ourselves by ourselves. And then many times we start doing things so we can be like those we're comparing ourselves to. I love hearing Sam Davidson preach. And I used to want to preach like Sam Davidson, but I can't. Because to me to do that, and sometimes I would measure myself, the preaching, by the way he would say things, by the way he would make statements, even my pastor, Brother Hardy. I wanted to be like him sometimes. And he was a good pastor, a godly man. And the pastor trained for the ministry, Brother Norwood. Many times I thought I'd like to react to situations like he does and have the wisdom, have the discernment. But that's not what I need to do. I need to focus on God and be holy in whatever situation God has me in, to look at the character of God and look at how he cannot be compared to anything, and walk and make my decisions based on the nature of God's holiness, which he has called me unto. So I said, Lord, it's incomparable. How about you? Turn to Job. Right before the book of Psalms. Look at Job. The Lord God is inexhaustible. Wrong word, but it means there's no end to God. There's no end to God. The Lord God is, number one, incomparable. The Lord God is inexhaustible. The depths of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. God is deep. He's inexhaustible. In Job 11 and verse 7, notice what the Bible says here. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? You know what that means is, no matter how far you go in your understanding of God, there'll be more to go. There'll be more to learn. And see, this is why being holy is important. Because this is an important principle. Because this is why a lot of Christians get to the place you can't tell them anything, you can't teach them anything, and even God himself can't. Because they don't understand this principle being inexhaustible. They don't understand that there's always something to learn. There's always a measure that where they can improve. There's always a measure that they can be more like Christ, be more like God. They can grow. They can do. They can go further. That's part of being holy. Because God is inexhaustible. And since Job said right here that by searching, we can't really find out God, if you're going to be holy, you have to understand that you won't live a life in this earth where you'll never reach a point to where you have arrived. And I will never reach a point to where I have arrived. I'll never reach a point where I can say, I'll just retire now. I've just got on easy street. I can just coast on in now. It doesn't happen. But this is why so many people are growing. And this is why we have so much lukewarm Christianity. Because we've compared ourselves and we have a measure of Christianity. We compare ourselves among ourselves. And since we're so much not like this group, and since we're so much not like this group, and since we've got this figured out, oh, if this person would just do it this way, if this person would just do it that way, I don't understand why they don't see it my way or this and that. And we're speaking from a level up here down to here. And if we really got our heart right, if by the grace of God we are here, we still can't even see God up there because he's so far in distance. And that will cause us in being holy to continually, to always abound in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know, your labor is not in vain of the Lord. Because God is inexhaustible. There's no end to him. And that means there's no end to your holiness. There's no point of being holy to where you get to a place and say, well, I'm it. like I used to say when I looked in the mirror when I was lost heathen, you know. You get all dressed before you go out and do stupid stuff, and you look in the mirror, and you look in that mirror, you go, yeah. Now, I hope nobody, none of you in this room is that vain as I was, but if you did walk that road before, you know, it's like you get all dressed and you do your hair and you get the right clothes. See, back then, I still didn't have a lot of hair, but you know, you get all your parts cut in, you got everything just right, and you got your clothes, you got all these things ready, and you look in the mirror and you're thinking, man, is the world ready for me? And you know what you think? You think a principle of holiness. You think that, man, you're thinking there's nobody like me. Instead of, the world should say, wow, there is nobody like you. Because of God. Number one, God, remember God curiously wrought you? He made you a particular vessel. And that's why we don't compare what other people are doing even. I mean, this church right now, we could do more. We could definitely please God more. We could definitely honor God more. But you know what? This church is in a position to do things that only the First International Baptist Church can do. Where we're at right now, I mean, let's stop right now. The Bible says, forgive those things which are behind. And we're reaching forth to those things which are before. So right now, this church has an opportunity to do something that no other church on the face of the earth can do for the glory of God. And what he wants this church to do, that is inexhaustible. That means there will never be an end to our purpose, to our mission, to our goal, to our responsibilities, to our obligation. Because just as the Lord God is inexhaustible, so will our responsibility to God be inexhaustible until he comes back. There will never be a measure of our being set apart for sacred use that will say, hey, I've just made it. If this room were full right now, and we opened that door and the whole side was full, we still wouldn't be able to sit back and say, man, we got it. Because to be set apart is to still be a distance so far. There'd still be a vast way we can approach getting closer and closer to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice where the Bible says here. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And see, this nature, this characteristic of being inexhaustible is what allows us to continue on. Notice what Paul says here. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed, notice this, out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. He says, wait a minute. He said, what was going on with us? As we walked, as we yielded to the plan of God for our life, as we yielded to the holiness that God intended us to be, yielded to the separation that he made us to be, because he declared us separate. As we yielded to that, we were being pressed out of measure. We were being taken above strength. We're being placed in situations that are above our own abilities to get it done. so that God could allow us to see that there was more to what we could accomplish than we ever thought. Because if we live our Christian life based on what we think, we'll be just where we are now with not very many miracles, not very much praising of God, not very much glory to God, because we're just getting our own results of what we've been doing instead of walking in a state of being with God, being holy, and seeing, wow, God, I know you can do that with me. Because when we in that state of being instead of doing, as we walk with God and God places us here, we'll be taken above measure. Because see, my measurement only says I can go this far as a Christian. And my measure says I only have so much strength to get this done. But when I'm walking with God and submissive to the holiness, being consecrated just for Him, the Spirit of God says, Reiner Harper, do this. And my flesh says, I can't do that. But because I'm walking in a state of being holy, I yield to what the Spirit says, and I find out, wow, that's right, I could do that. But God, you could do that. You could take me and do that with me. And see, that's when you walk away with a greater picture of the power of God. Because God didn't want you to do it anyway. He just didn't want you to run from His positioning, because He needed you in position to do with you what He wanted to do. But if you get out of position, if you reject Him, you turn away from Him, He's not going to force you. But when you submit to Him and just stay in position where He wants you to be, then He takes you, even though you may be pressed above measure, and though you may be pressed above strength, think, wow, I didn't know, Lord, I didn't know you were that good. I didn't know you could do that with me. Ever lived a day you thought you were going to make it through? Ever have a day like Job and says, look, curse me the day that I was born? Ever have a rough day you think, man, Lord, it'd been better for me not to have been born. Look, if I wasn't born, I wouldn't be going through this right now. And then I wouldn't fail this person, wouldn't hurt that person. Oh, it'd just been better if I'd never been born. You know. And God said, yeah, it is good that you were born, because now you can see the reality of me if we just be holy, be set apart for sacred use. Now, we set ourselves apart for our personal use, and we set ourselves apart for others to use us, but when you set yourself apart for sacred use, and if you realize that God is inexhaustible, until the day you die, you're never going to get mature enough or strong enough as a Christian to where it all just so easy, because that would be a day without the cross. And since God in His open wisdom said that we take up our cross daily, that means that there always be a day for the fresh crucifixion. But the great thing about the cross, with those days, there'll be those that look up and say, truly, thou art the Son of God. It's like when they saw Jesus on the cross. Last thing, Isaiah chapter 44. I hope this is making some type of sense. Because we, you know, I've just watched so many people doing a lot of things for God. No joy, no fruits of the Spirit. But they're busy doing it. But God advocate the state of being. Be ye holy. Isaiah 44:8. And this one is pretty close to uncomparable, but I feel like the Lord would have to make a distinction here. The last one is, number one, the Lord God is undefinable. The Lord God is undefinable. You can't define God. I hope you see what that means in a moment. Now, in Isaiah 44 and verse 8, He says, fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and declared it? Notice this. Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. That's a pretty strong statement. God says He doesn't know of anybody. That's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. When God says, is there a God beside me? And God says, you know, I thought about this. And the God who knows everything, amen. He says, I thought about this. And, hey, no, there is no God. I know not any. And for God to come to that conclusion, yes, it's true, amen. He said, I'm undefinable. He said, is there? Now, because before he said, to whom is there one like me? In other verses. To whom will you liken and would like me to compare him? But here he says, is there a God beside me? Is there really a God beside me? He says, no, there's not. He says, I am undefinable. He says, there's nothing even in my category. He said, I am the definition of God. He said, I'm the, and for our application and understanding, he would say, I am the example, the only one, true, all by himself. So if you're going to be holy, all by yourself, is there a Christian beside me, we'll say it in terms? Now, we could never come to this conclusion arrogantly, but I mean, we could come to this conclusion by sake of responsibility. I am the example. Because we're not looking, I'm not looking to see if Brother Mark's going to do what the Bible says, except as a loving pastor to try to help him to be encouraged in God. But not by way of comparison, and not by way of trying to make myself like him or make him like me, or making sure that he's doing his fair share so I don't overdo it. Now I'm going to be looking unto Jesus, and by way of example, God says there's no God beside me, and since God is the Lord, he has his own name to live up to, and since January 20th of 1993, I made a profession that I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and I'm not looking for anybody to define what that is. I'm not going to look to anybody to define what it means for me to give my life to Christ, except but the God that I gave my life to. So undefinable. And if I walk in that, if I enter into that state of holiness, if that's my state of being, that helps me be faithful. Because God says there's no God beside him. And I don't know, since the Bible says judge nothing before the time, I may look at Brother David's life, I may look at Brother Mark's life, anybody else who professes Christ, and in my wisdom, I may feel like they're not serving God like they really ought to. Or I may feel like they are serving God like they ought to, and I may pattern my life for them and define my life by them. And since we judge nothing before the time, all three of us can miss the mark. Because they're not the example I follow. Christ is the example that we follow. And as I look toward the God of heaven, I don't know if there's no God beside you. Since you're that means there's no definition of you in any individual to where I can find the perfect holy example. And sure ain't in me, so I better. Could that be why God put a little verse in the Bible like looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, knowing that we would so easily want to define our Christian identity by those around us, and wanting to, instead of being willing to be set apart with a God that there's none like him, and be willing to accept the role of who he is. And again, all of you are curiously wrought. So there's none like you. And you have a measure of holiness that God wants you to walk in that you're not going to find it out even completely from me. Though I lead, but you're going to find it out from God himself. And the only way you'll know and walk in that is to enter that state of being holy. And that has you in a point of surrender, in a point of yieldedness. Because wait a minute, you know, I can't find an example of, you know what? I can't find an example anywhere of what Reiner Harper is supposed to be. You know, and you know what it is? Because there's not another Reiner Harper anywhere. Alexa, you never find an example anywhere of what Alexa Harper is supposed to be. Because there's not another Alexa Harper anywhere. Mark, you never find anywhere an example of what Mark Oliver should be. Because there's not another Mark Oliver anywhere. And David, you'll never find an example of what you should be. Because there's not another Brother David anywhere. There's not one anywhere. So you better. If you're going to be holy, realize your life's not going to be defined by anybody around but by God himself. That's not a statement of arrogance. That's a statement of resolution. And we read one of the verses. It says, be fearful. So walking in that fear, that respect of God. See, that's why the disciples, all the people we read about, the people, you know, the people in the Bible that did things that nobody else could do or had never been done before to that point? They were holy. Man, I wish God could have used me to write the Bible. Holy men of God did what? Spake as they followed the examples of the forefathers before them. Didn't say that, does it? If you know the verse, it says, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. And holy men and women will do whatever God wants them to do as they're moved by the Holy Ghost. And see, and that's a walk that keeps you consistent with God. Because in order to keep that going, you got to stay with the one who really has the power to keep you going. And I tell you, that's a good place to be. I mean, is there a God beside me? I mean, where would you go? I mean, where would you go? That old song, where would I go but to the Lord? Amen. God said, I've been, in my wisdom, in my estimation, I've been thinking about this. And I've got a question for you. Is there a God beside me? I'm still happy over that, if you can't tell. Yay, there is no God. He said, I know not any. You don't think about that. So why would you trust in anyone else? If God came to that conclusion, when will you come to that conclusion? Be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Would you start today to submit your life to God, to let him use you as a vessel that cannot be compared to anything? But for that to happen, you got to start comparing yourself among yourselves. And you got to, would you be willing? You know, it's kind of Hebrews 11. It said, without faith, it isn't, actually let's turn there. We'll probably finish it with it. Hebrews 11. I know it's a familiar verse. It would be good if you look at it. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that temporarily seek him. Right there, that's the reason why many people don't come to God. Because many come to God believing, they think they're approaching God believing that he is a rewarder of them that temporarily seek him. Because we want instant results from God. But diligent means steady application in business. Steady. God rewards. And see, if you're committed to faithfulness, see, to come to that, you got to believe that God rewards only those that diligently seek him. Now, he has blessings for all, but he rewards only those that diligently seek him. Steadily, faithfully. That's the inexhaustibleness of God. That's when people say, I believe in God, and he failed me. But no, if you stop them, and you temporarily however long it's been. You temporarily sought him. But if you diligently seek him, steadily, continually, faithfully, purposefully, not neglecting anything about God, then you resolve in a person of holiness. And if you're going to be holy, you're going to be undefinable by anybody. I mean, we can look around this room now, and so many of us are defined by other people. We're wearing something we saw somebody else wear. We're doing something we saw somebody else do. We're talking like we heard somebody else talk. We want to be where we heard somebody else went. What was that? We're so easily defined. If I kept in the world long enough, I could go to a crowd and I could know the people, that I could know how people define their lives. Hey, if I study so many different things, even when it comes to what we do with our clothing and our hair and different style, I could see what's defining many of our lives here. If I kept up in the world scene enough to know that, I could see what's defining who you are. But God says He's not defined by anybody. And neither should you be. Because that's what holiness is. And if you ever decide to be that, oh man, this is good. This is good, Brother Dave. One day, now I was thinking about this. Now you know the glorious statement God said about Himself? God said that about another servant of His that was holy. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He said, "There's none like him." And that's, if you're a child of God today, that's His goal for your life. That He could say about you, "There's none like you." But for that to happen, you'll have to be holy. You have to be uncomparable. Your life with God has to be inexhaustible. And you have to be undefinable. And for those of you that don't know Christ today, God still has a holy purpose for your life. And the purpose of God for your life was so important. He allowed part of Himself to die on the cross for your sin. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down in the form of sinful man, walked the earth, lived a sinless, perfect life. He suffered and bled and died upon the cross for your sins because He has a holy purpose for your life. And He raised Himself from the dead, showing the power of life and death in His hands, so that you could know that His holy purpose for your life can be accomplished in you. Would you turn to Him today and let Him save you from the only person that's responsible for sending you to hell? Yourself. And children of God, let's be holy, for He's holy. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the Word of God today. I thank You for the Word of Yourself and the presence of Yourself in this service right now. And Lord, I just wish I knew You better, that I could bring You more glory and say more things about Yourself. Well, I pray that You strengthen the Christians that maybe have served You for some time. They've been doing a lot of things in attempts to be holy, but they don't have the fruits of the Spirit that come with that. There's no strength of love. There's no strength of joy. There's no strength of meekness. There's no strength of temperance. There's no strength of goodness. There's no strength of faith. Would You help them to enter into a state of being holy? Help them to recognize, help them to see the difference that as they now recognize, hopefully a little bit more about Your character, and are willing now not just to do things that they think will make them holy, but surrender their life completely to being holy. May every child of God surrender their heart, their life, and everything to you, that they be willing to have a life that cannot be compared to anyone in this world. May every child of God surrender their heart and their life to you, that they might be willing to walk in holiness, above measure, above strength, inexhaustible until the day that you return, or until the day they physically die. And may every child of God be willing to have their lives defined only by you. Save those that are lost. Help us to obey the leading of thy Spirit this very moment.